Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, December the 18th, 2025. 1 week away from Christmas Day, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Phone lines are open. We got a call during the break there, so I wanted to make sure we had the phone lines open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I want to thank Ted Jolla for stopping by during the break there. He brought me a large Diet Coke from must be McDonald's out here on Delaware Avenue. Looks like they're selling the large Diet Cokes, and I heard yesterday Main Street's doing it. I don't know what's going on with Route 95, but as of this morning, they still were not selling them. So thank you, Ted and Carol, for that nice drink here this morning. I needed it after the first hour there of not having one. And he also dropped off this great Marion Star. Boy, I'll tell you, the paper looked different. Sunday, November the 8th, 1981, and the paper back in those days only cost 50 cents. And now, this is interesting. It says the Marion Star was established on October the 8th, 1877. So if anybody, there's a date for you. October the 8th, 1877 is when the Marion Star was established. But again, if our caller wants to call back in, who called in during the break, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944, if you'd like to talk about anything else. Now, the big stories going on in the world in Marion in 1981 on November the 8th, the Soviets claim arms strength. So still talking about the Cold War. I think this must be a local story here. Officials examine reclaiming facility, landfill alternative. Well, how about that? All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Doing good. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. I did want to point out from Lee, your last caller there, there were writings back, at the time of Jesus and everything, but they're difficult to read because the alphabet had no L.
Well, that's pretty good. I like that. Hey, do you make these Christmas cards and send them out to other people, or do you personalize everybody's Christmas card?
You got a special card.
Well, I love it. You know, I keep these every year. These are in one of our Christmas totes every year because I think these cards are worth keeping, that you put the time. So this was the big moment for you this year was our groundhog.
Well, that's the most sort of graphic moment.
Well, Mary Ellen being the groundhog, I think that was classic.
Yeah.
Now, were you still in Marion, Bob, back in 1981?
I had probably just left.
Well, this is interesting. Ted just dropped off this newspaper, and the big story, November 8th, 1981, was officials examine reclaiming facility, landfill alternative. Maybe they could learn from that today. Honestly, on the front page of the Star back then, we always talk about how much more local news they had. Honestly, there's not a whole lot of local news. Courage creates UniHelp to aid schools program. That's here. But the rest of it really is national AP stories on the front of the paper.
Huh.
Maybe we remember things not like they were.
Well, no, we always remember things like we want to remember them.
Yeah. Well, maybe the Star has always had maybe just one or two local stories. I mean, even on the inside, I'm looking here, that's an AP story. That's an AP. A story out of Columbus, Washington. Reagan has faith in falling interest rates. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, I don't see a whole lot of local news in this thing.
I know they've always had local news, but maybe at that point in time they were beginning a transition from local to more of the national wires and everything.
Well, I know they got the one thing they have in here that they don't have now. They have like the Daily Record, the police report, the sheriff report, things like that. They have couples, you know, like what is this? That was something from the front of the paper. That was a story from the front. But what I love to look at are the old stores. I mean, there's a big JCPenney ad in here when it was at obviously at the mall at that point. There's a what is this store up here? Do you remember a place called the Tasty Pastry Shop?
Does it have an address?
612 South Prospect. So just the street over here.
No, I can't say I recall that.
It says they're a complete line bakery. Everything fresh like the morning sun. We believe in Marion was their slogan.
When you look at papers like that, I always like to look at the grocery ads and see what the prices were then, you know, like, you know, 10 cents a pound for ground beef and things like that.
Well, there's nothing for the Tasty Pastry Shop, but I'll tell you this. How much do you think a twin mattress or foundation cost from JCPenney in 1981?
Oh, I'm going to go with $199.95. Oh, see, that was a little high then.
All right. That was a little high. You know, there's this big ad in here. It's very, very colorful. It says, the gold rush is on. Now, I don't know how you print. Q-U-O-I-Z-E-L apostrophe S. I've never heard that in Marion, but it's Golden Fantasy Giveaway. See our special display of Golden Fantasy lighting by whatever Quizzel. I don't know. Very special prices. Apparently, they were some kind of gold shop. Harding Highway East, 1585.
There's a lot of good things in old papers like that, you know. And, I mean, even if you went down to the vital statistics here, where they'll list the births and the deaths of people and everything, you know, if you look at the births, just say, you know, boy at, you know, Riverside Hospital or the hospital there, but you know, they don't have any big story about, oh, this boy born this day, he's going to grow up to be the greatest president ever. You know, I mean, you don't find that. It's always, you know, when something momentous happens, the stories are written after the fact, you know, maybe well after the fact. You know, and so you're not going to find a story of, you know, 10-year-old Jesus walking around, you know, turning, you know, water into lemonade or anything like that, you know.
Well, and I guess that's my question is how do you feel the holidays should be celebrated? I mean, there's this big debate every year, commercialization, the Grinch, Christmas tree, Santa Claus, but then there's the religious background, but then there's some people who really aren't all in on that.
No, I think the holidays should just be an example of what your life should be all the time. Just trying to live in peace, goodwill to men, you know, be kind to the world.
Try to be as good as you can.
Yeah, I mean, that should be your goal all year round, not just one day out of the year.
I think you're right. I don't think I've talked to you since the fruitcake toss. How do you feel it came off? We got both our plaques presented that night. We got Bob Bender and Larry Barnett. I think it was a fun night.
It was a fun night. It was a good crowd. I'm hoping next year we'll have a dome stadium out there. But it went off very well.
Somebody did say that we should move it inside, and I'm not against that, but I'm just afraid that would take away from the mystique for people.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to find, I guess, a gymnasium somewhere, you know, like a, be open at,
Well, the superintendent keeps winning.
An hour earlier.
Well, the superintendent keeps winning. I'm sure we could get a gymnasium.
Yeah. But I do think it should be at least an hour earlier, I think I'd do better with the crowd if I can get some more of the younger folks there as well, maybe the older folks too.
I forget why we started at 6. I think it had something to do with people wanted to go eat dinner or something like that. I don't remember how it got put at 7. But it certainly is something to take into consideration. Now, you're going to be listening to the big special tonight, 7:15 to 9?
I might be tuning in if I... I might even stop by and grab a piece of pizza. I don't know.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, if you're in the neighborhood, feel free to stop by.
But I'll bring my own water, if you don't mind.
Well, what do you make of that? I mean, I can't figure that out.
And I don't know all the details of everything, but that might be why the McDonald's is not serving fountain drinks, because they don't want, because they're using local water, and they want, don't want it, you know, tainted. You know, they don't want people like you, you're throwing them away, because, I mean, that's just such a waste of money to buy a stinky Coke or something, you know?
Right, but Ted just brought me one here from the McDonald's on Delaware Avenue, and I heard yesterday that the Main Street McDonald's was serving them again, and it tastes fine to me. I don't notice anything going on, so I don't know why the 95 one has stopped selling them.
No, I was just speculating. I have no idea either.
Well, here's my question, though. Aqua, it's not like Aqua has been quiet on this. They've released two statements. They're on the news report. They're telling you exactly what they found in the water. They're telling you exactly what they did. They're not denying that the water stinks. They're not denying that it tastes different. Why is there such a rush to make this into something that we don't know that it is shit?
It must be a slow news day. But you're right. I mean, if something stinks, don't eat it. Don't drink it. You know, if you don't like, you know, if you don't like the look of it, the smell of it, don't put it in your mouth.
Right. And coincidentally, if you don't believe Aqua, then don't drink the water. Yeah. I mean, I can't quite understand what the problem is here. I mean, we can't report on things we don't know. We can't make up the news as we go along. This is what Aqua has said, and to mine, you know, it's been 4 days now. This happened Saturday, so it's been 5 days. Has the city done anything? Has the city issued a statement? I would think the city of Marion and the county would issue a statement if there truly was something wrong with the drinking water and they did not believe Aqua.
Well, I don't know. I think the city administration might be slow to issue anything negative about Marion, because you're supposed to love the city, not you know, and I don't think there are like any negative reports coming out about anything.
Well, don't you believe the police and fire would run a test on this water?
I believe they would.
So don't you think we would hear something from them?
Possibly. So often they'll say, oh, the water may be stinky and, you know, everything, but it still meets the standards of, you know, of healthy drinking, and so don't worry about it, you know. I mean, there's so little that you can actually believe in anymore. You know, you got to trust yourself, and you got to test things out for yourself anymore.
Right, and that's it. If you don't believe it, and you don't believe Aqua, and you and again, why would you want to drink dirty, stinky water? I wouldn't do it. And if it goes on more than a week, then I would probably call the water company and try to get a credit on the bill and wonder when this is going to end. But we're just not at that point. I mean, this is only day 4.
Well, I think that's long enough. I mean, do you want to go, you know, 4 days without drinking?
I mean, they're telling you why it's taking time. We had 2 days of freezing weather. They couldn't flush the hydrants during that time. And now they're flushing the hydrants, which they say will speed up the process.
Well, they should be out there giving out bottled water. I mean, you don't serve a substandard product, and that's what they're doing.
Well, no, and I would agree with you on that. Maybe they should be out there serving bottled water, but my problem is people like Channel 4, and I like Channel 4, but coming down here to do a story on as if there's some type of water contamination, and they didn't put one thing in that story that proved that there was water contamination.
Does it stink?
I think that, well, yeah, but like the water.
They're right there. That's contamination.
Well,
you don't need any more proof than that. If it's stinking, it might be healthy to drink, but it's still contaminated. And why are you going to drink it?
Well,
but
you know the story. I mean, the headline they use is "Why is Marion's water green?" You know, this is not a piece, you know, clearly they're trying to link it to the Flint, Michigan situation and things of that nature. And I don't, it could be that. I don't know. I'm not a water expert, but I have not seen that yet. I think we would see something by now.
But there again, how long did Flint, Michigan say, oh, we meet the levels of safety, and therefore it's okay to have this little bit of lead in the water? Well, lead in the water is never safe. You know, and to say that it meets the level of safety doesn't really pass the smell test, so to speak, here. If it stinks,
but
there's something in the clothing that stinks, and therefore maybe there's something there that you're not testing for that could be dangerous.
Right, but I don't think Flint, Michigan ever said why the lead rates were in the water as they were, and I think Aqua is saying that. I mean, Aqua released a statement on Sunday, the first, within 24 hours of this happening, they released a statement. They released another statement yesterday when they were able to start flushing the hydrants. I guess if everything is more than it is, it causes mass panic. You know, Aqua told me, because they said, are you getting a lot of calls about this? And I said, my God, we got 200 comments on the post about it within a couple hours of putting it up. They said, we've gotten 5 phone calls. Now, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, they got 5 phone calls at the answer, or just 5 phone calls?
5 phone calls. 5 complaints. At that time.
Is that 5 phone calls of the answered or what? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, here's what I'm saying. Do you believe all 200 people who were willing to leave a comment that it was so contaminated and wrong and all that, do you think they all called Aqua and complained?
Apparently not.
There you go. And my point, again, I'm not saying that it's good. It's not a good situation. But don't drink it. I mean, don't drink it. Try to get a credit to your bill. I mean, I don't quite understand what's going on here. And file a lawsuit. If you believe the water's contaminated, file a lawsuit right now.
I mean, you need to have damages. And so if they find that they have damages, then they can file a lawsuit.
Right.
But you got to have damages.
Well, you got to have proof.
No, you got to have damages. But just the proof is,
Right. So I just, you know what? It's a salacious story that people can put out there and get a lot of attention. And clearly that's, you don't see Channel 4 coming down here for the fruitcake toss, but you certainly see them showing up for green water, which they have no explanation for.
Well, I mean, next year maybe they'll be there for the fruitcake toss.
We'll see.
We're working on it.
All I'm saying.
We're growing.
We've got to do. Listen, we've got more than 5 people, the 5 people who called Aqua. I'm just saying we've got to be a little more honest with what's going on. And again, I'm not saying that there's not something wrong, but where is that proof? Where's that proof?
It's in your nose. The proof is in your nose. The smell is indication that there's something wrong.
Right, and Aqua has said that. They have admitted that. They admitted that the day it happened, that the water had an odor and a different kind of a taste.
And here is the next question: what is causing that odor?
Which they have said.
What was their answer?
Their answer. Let me try to find it here. Adam had it on the news, but it was essentially let's go here. But again, you put these stories out, people don't care. They just tell you you're full of it. They don't care what Aqua has to say. Advanced analysis of samples collected from the Marion Water System have confirmed earlier evaluations that the compound causing taste and odor issues was geosmin. An organic compound that is detectable by humans at extremely low levels, often resulting in smells that people describe as earthy. There are no health concerns related to geomycin, maybe that's what it is, as detected levels in water from the system can be used normally. There is no need to boil water. When the odor was detected over the weekend, operators changed the source water mix entering the plant and enhanced the water treatment process with carbon to better absorb the odor. The odors are expected to dissipate over the next few days as the geosum, or whatever it is, migrates throughout the Marion Distribution Center. Above freezing temperatures are allowing crews to open select fire hydrants in the system to flush the compound from the water mains during daytime hours. This will expedite purging the system. Once it has dissipated, customers will still detect odors, especially those that are more sensitive to smells. Heating the water can increase the intensity of the smell. Customers may choose to run their hot water for several minutes to help remove the compound from water heaters.
I didn't have a sneeze button there, sorry.
So, I mean, if they're lying, okay, well then go after them. That's their statement.
And that may be 100% factual, but what is that compound? I mean, I don't know anything about chemistry, you know, but I would be curious to look up what is that compound and what are the safe levels, you know, according to, you know.
Again, don't drink the water. Don't drink it.
There you go.
If you are worried, don't drink it. If you don't trust them, don't drink it. And they give you the number to call them. It's not like they're hiding in some kind of corner. Call them. Tell them you want a rebate on your bill. Tell them your problem. I don't know. Conspiracy theories in this way are bad.
Why don't you call them on the air and see if you can get through?
Get through to Aqua?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that an operator will have the right answer.
There you go.
Right. But I bet a supervisor would.
Well, see if you can get a supervisor on the phone.
Well, I don't know if that's the proper thing to do on the air, because they have released a statement. And I'm not asking for a water rebate. I'm not an Aqua... I'm not a representative of them. But you know what? If nothing comes of this, then what? Does everybody apologize?
Well, you're willing to call Macy's and find out the driving directions to see the parade.
Well, that's because they're the quality store. But my point is, what if nothing comes of this? If there are no lawsuits against Aqua and everything goes back to normal and there's no big story, does everybody go back and apologize?
Apologize for what?
Well, oh my gosh, there were terrible things going on, and they were poisoning people, and this was awful.
We'll have to wait and see. I don't know.
All I'm saying is a news organization cannot report things that are not fact. And this is what Aqua has said. You do what you think is right. You know, obviously these businesses are operating. You know, do you think they would risk that type of a lawsuit?
Well, did the school turn off the water fountains in the school? Well,
there you go again. Does somebody call the school and ask them that?
I don't know.
So again, I don't think schools are out.
Well, you never can tell. Anymore, you get like 3 weeks off of school for Christmas.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know what? It's unfortunate that people will take... Here's the problem I have, is that when you add your own commentary to a story, that's the problem. And if there is more to this, if somebody has tested this and has some kind of big news to share, where is it? I mean, why does the burden fall on Aqua, an Aqua representative? They've sent their statement out. We've read it. So where is the evidence that they are wrong?
The burden is on them because they are the provider.
But they have answered.
They provided an answer, and so you're right now. The ball is in somebody else's court.
The ball is in somebody else's. So what is it?
To refute it, you know, and to go deeper if there is a problem or a danger.
Right. So where is that proof? Because show it. If you're not showing it and you know something, you're putting us all in danger.
But until the stink gets out of the water and gets back to being zero taste, there's a problem.
There is a problem. But you know what? To me, again, I am not saying drink the water. If I was suspicious of it, I would not drink it. If it stunk, I would not drink it. If it tasted funny, I would not drink it. If I didn't believe Aqua, I wouldn't drink it. That's up to every individual person, but I'm not going to make up a story about something happening that has not. Does it smell funny? Yes. Does it have an odd taste in some people's homes? Yes. But beyond that, what do we have?
I don't think anybody's asking anybody to make up a story, but like you said, there needs to be some investigative, you know, research.
Oh, there are people putting stories out. Well, the Star has not done a story. And
the difference between investigating and putting a story out.
Well, see, now here's the problem. People think they're investigative journalists, but that's not exactly 60 Minutes anymore.
But there still has to be some research, some investigation to even qualify for the word being an investigative journalist. Just putting a story out doesn't satisfy that.
Oh, it does now. It does now. You can say anything. You can say anything. I mean,
I heard that last night for 30 minutes from the guy in charge there. You can say anything, but that doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah, but what is Channel 4? What was their proof? They ran a story on the green water. I mean, they certainly have more resources than any media outlet around here. What did they find?
I didn't see the story, but did they interview somebody who had green water?
Yes. Well, they interviewed somebody. I'm not exactly sure if the water was green or not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where's the big story out of that? Now, I'm being asked to spell the chemical compound name. Hold on a second. Let me pull this here. But I guess what I'm saying is, don't drink the water. I mean, if you think it's bad, don't drink it. I mean, I certainly wouldn't.
All right, go ahead, give the spelling here. Let's all get it.
Let's all get it here. Okay, so everybody can look up what it is and then call Aqua. Okay, it is GEOSMIN. So there we go. So again, be safe. If you don't think it's good, don't drink it. And if you don't believe the statements, don't drink it.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day, don't drink the water.
Okay, there you are.
Okay, bye. Right,
bye. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know. I just, the interesting thing about this is, do you have to be skeptical of things that companies say? Of course you do. They don't want to implicate themselves in anything, but you got to have some proof before you go after that company. You can't just make it up as you go. But again, if you don't trust them and you don't like the taste of the water, why are you drinking it anyway? And should Aqua give credits for this? Well, they probably should. 740-383-9944. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I'll chime in just for a minute and get off here because it can be an extended thing and this and that. But I live out here. I've got two wells. I got one for the house, and I've got one for the pond. And it was my priority that I wanted one for the pond. People asked me, why did you want one for the pond? I said, well, I like to put some fresh water in the pond once in a while. So that's why I got that. Whenever I extract water from the well that I got out to the pond, it affects the water I got in my house at a little degree. There is a little different taste, a little different smell. Because one thing you could do, you could have somebody come on, or we could go to school and stuff. There's a big, big deal about water table. And our water table today, with the farmers draining the fields and the water that comes from above and comes down into the fields, instead of going down and replenishing our water tables and stuff, we're going to start having problems with this water. And water, so they extracted water from their wells and stuff. And that water table, I don't know how many square miles that would be, but during that period of time, my water was not extracted for the pond. It was just extracted for what we use in our home, and it had a different smell. I have smelt that before when I've run both wells, per se, in the pond, and then I was accustomed to that smell. So, like I say, the water table, that is a tremendous and a thing that would be very interesting to get into and stuff, finding it out. Because when we start pumping water, and they call it muling, down the Scioto River from up here and took the dam out down at Waldo and stuff like that, there, and dug wells down south of Marion before Marion, and before you ever get to Marysville, but you know, on that stretch of Route 4, they drilled 110 wells there, 110, and it's lined with rubber, and they extract water from there, and they mule it down south for the people in Columbus, and that's what the deal is there on that. But this water table thing has got to be watched very closely. When you drain the water off the fields to grow crops, why? There's no water going on our water table, per se, in certain areas, and to replenish that water. But to get back to the story, that's what I had to smell, and I'm not even hooked up to any other thing but the well I had drilled here. And Carol and I have been living here 33 years and been drinking the water. The same way I experienced that when they built the house. I was out here. I helped build this house. And I helped, had my nose stuck in everything that was going on. And when they drilled those wells and done that, you could tell the difference in the smell. And then they advise you to shock your well, you know. You've heard, and maybe you haven't, but that it is. But anyhow, I'll cut off there. And quickly, when I was coming back from your place and cut through from the Hardy Memorial over Edgewood Drive over to Route 4, I seen guys digging around the utility poles, and I said, my God, they must have, maybe something's wrong here, that, why are they digging around these? So I stopped, no traffic either way. That was unusual on that little Edgewood Drive. People all know, goes by the park down there and goes over to Hardy Memorial and then goes over to Route 4. And I asked, and he was of Spanish descent, I had to ask him three or four times. I said, bear with me. I'd like to know what you're doing. He said, we're digging around these utility poles. And I said, what for? He said, we're going to put a like a plastic around those to preserve the pole sticking down into the earth. And I said, oh, okay. And so I let it go. I thought it was just along there. I looked up that pole, and it had a light, you know, for lighting for going through that Edgefield Drive there by the hospital and stuff. And I thought, oh, well, okay, maybe. But the plastic wrap around the bottom, and they're digging down there, not with a backhoe, not with anything else, but with a shovel. And that's going to be another thing. So you watch the electric bills and stuff to help pay for this kind of stuff. And we're not aware of what's going on. They just do it, and then after it's done, then we tend to do it for it. So we got to be more things. And like you say, call in and ask and everything. And I got one little thing. I had a thing of Rice Krispies that was all crunched up the other day, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to tolerate this. It was 12-ounce thing of, Kellogg's Corn Flakes. And Mayor Kellogg, I should have called him. But you know what? I called that number, and I talked to the woman. I had the box in my hand and everything, and she asked me all the questions. And she was a Filipino, and I was talking over in the Philippines now, getting this information for Kellogg's cornflakes that I got here in Marion Kroger's. And that's the reply. And she said, you got asked me all the questions on the box and everything to confirm my investigation that they looked like they was crumbs instead of flakes. And she said, well, I'd be awarded a gift certificate worth the $6, and that would take care of the 12-ounce and go on up to whatever $6. So if you don't call, if you don't investigate, if you don't go through a procedure and get back to these companies, they say, oh, well, that don't make no difference to me. By God, it makes difference. If you don't call in and you don't participate and complain about stuff, you're not going to get stuff done. They're going to pull the wool over your eyes and do it. I still say, America is beautiful. America is great. The United States is great. Everything's great. But the people within this are messing up other people, corporates and stuff like that. I'm a firm believer that this system has got to get under control, or we're all going to be in trouble later on. Maybe not me, 84, but I'm concerned with the people that be 84 maybe 1,000 years from now. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, bye. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, and I thank again Ted for the soda and the newspaper from 1981. And again, that's exactly right. I would be calling Aqua like crazy if I had a big problem with this water. And hopefully they are inundated with phone calls at this point. Because if people are worried, that's what you should do. And call them. The reason I would not call them on the air, here's the problem. You got somebody who's an Aqua operator, and you put them on a radio program, and, you know, that's a little more making fun of them and their knowledge, and you're putting them on the spot, and then they say the wrong thing, and, you know, God knows what happens to them. They might lose their job. I don't think that's a good thing to do. Calling Macy's about the balloons, nobody's going to lose their job for that. So it's just a little different. If it's something of serious nature, if it's a news matter, I don't think you should handle it that way, especially when Aqua is willing to release statements at this point to the media. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you know, you can't always rely on the company Aqua to tell you the truth about the water.
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, Flint, Michigan up there, you know, they was telling everybody the water was fine, and the reporter, they had the homeowners turn on the water, and it was coming out brown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not saying at all that you should believe the company. I'm saying if you don't believe them, do something different. Call them. Don't drink the water. Don't participate in it. But what
will have a certain smell.
Right, but
and different well waters have a different taste.
But
and
what
down
we
there where Ted lives, we used to live on Smeltzer Road, just not too far from where he lives. There's a lot of iron in the water.
But here's my point. What we can't do is, in the news business, which is what this program is, we can't make it up as we go. And I'm giving you the information. I'm saying, this is what Aqua says. Okay, now you can believe that or not believe that. That's you. And you can make the phone calls. You cannot drink the water. You can drink the water. You can do whatever you want. That's how news operations are supposed to. I'm not supposed to tell you what you should do. And any news organization that's telling you what to do is a problem. And when they start making it up to scare you, that's a problem.
Oh, now, yeah, that's a problem, but you can't blame a news station if they get calls about their water, you know, coming out brown.
No.
And they're getting the city not, you know, telling the truth, telling them it's all right. You know, you can't blame the news organization that goes down there and has the cameras on, they turn on the water and it's coming out brown.
No. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again,
where the news helps.
Well, it is, but again, the problem is if you're going to do that story and you have no reasoning except, okay, the water's brown. Okay, well, why is the water brown? I mean, what is your... Because, see, all that does is create panic.
The organization ain't going to send samples of that water out to labs.
No, but where is the sheriff? Where is the city police? They don't have the... Huh?
Where's the health department?
Where's the fire department?
You think of the health department. department.
The health department
would be
right
checking on that water.
You and you know what? The health department echoed Aqua's statement. So
if you have a business and you have well water, the health inspector will come down every 3 months and get a bottle of water from you, and they'll send it off and get it tested, and you might have to bleach your well. Have you ever heard of that? You pour bleach down your well, leave it set for a few hours, and then run the water for a while until the bleach smells out of it, and that's how you disinfect the well.
Well, let me tell you, Aqua, the last thing they put out there, was something that the city of Marion put out 22 hours ago from Aqua Water. We have been advised that Aqua Water has begun the process of flushing the system, starting at the city limits and working inward. As more updates, if any, come in, we'll post additional news releases. Thank you. Now, that's from the city of Marion, reposted by Marion Public Health. So apparently, they are in cahoots too, I guess.
Well, the big thing, you can buy your bottled water, and you can buy a gallon of water, to mix in with your cooking. I wonder how many restaurants are doing that instead of just using tap water. But, the point I was going to make?
Well, I want to just make the point. Don't drink the water if you think it's unsafe. Don't drink it.
If you shower in it, though, I wonder if it makes you smell.
I don't know. I have not had that problem.
Well, where you live, do you have city water?
I have Aqua.
Aqua? And it could be just in certain locations, too.
So, again, if you aren't... I can guarantee you if my water stank in the shower or my water was coming out brown from the faucet, I certainly wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
So I don't get this, but, hopefully it gets resolved without any big major conflict.
Yeah, we'll have faith in our town.
We will. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, again, the Christmas special will be on tonight. Don't forget that, 7:15 to 9 p.m. on this station. Do not forget the Christmas special. Write that down. Put that down in your I don't know, what do people write stuff down? Do people write down things anymore? Write it down in your notes, put a post-it out, put an alarm on your cell phone, do whatever you do. 7:15 to 9 p.m. tonight, it's the WGH Christmas special, and I believe this is the 13th one, because the first one we did would have been the Christmas of 14. So this, well, maybe it's the 11th or 12th. I don't know. Maybe it is the 11th or 12th. 12th? I think that's 12 if we had one in 14. So get ready for that tonight. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I have a question.
Yes.
How about all these coffee places? They had to use that water. Did they quit? I mean, did they still do whatever they do?
I would imagine Starbucks. And I know 7 Brew was open this morning when I ran through McDonald's. I know Tim Hortons was open.
Well, I went through McDonald's yesterday, and I knew the situation, so I just had got a sandwich. But while I was sitting there waiting, there was a lot of people just pulled on through and went on out.
We
lost a lot of customers.
Well, and isn't that interesting? Because I find it fascinating. These people know what the water situation is. So why are they going to McDonald's to order water-based drinks and pulling away when they can't get them if they believe it's contaminated?
Well, like I say, there's nothing wrong with living under a bridge.
But I have to believe they've heard about it by now with Channel 4 reporting and...
Well, I was just thought, well, what's all those coffee places? Do they have to use that water?
Well, of course. And what are people washing their dishes with in restaurants? And what are they using for cooking? I mean, they certainly clean those grills at the end of the night.
Well, and I would think that the heat and the crap off of those would probably take care of it. But I grew up where we had sulfur water. And my mom used to say when, they would be pouring water out to feed the livestock and so forth, she'd go on how good that water tasted. And she convinced us it was good. And anybody that didn't have sulfur water, they couldn't stand the smell of it. So whatever. But I did wonder about the coffee places. I mean, everything they sell, I would think, would have to be using that water.
I guess with a minute left to go today, the thing that baffles me about this is, okay, Aqua puts out two statements. Now, again, you can believe or disbelieve those. That's on the people. But if you did disbelieve it, then why are you continuing to operate your business? You could be making people sick. Aqua is the distributor, but you are giving it to the people. I mean, I guess I don't understand why we're not coming down on them saying, hey, you know, stop this. We've got proof that it's contaminated and Aqua's lying to us all. Why isn't that happening?
Well, why do you have to have some big shot tell you to quit drinking it?
I didn't understand that either. I didn't understand. Apparently, I have to come on here and tell everybody not to drink the water is what some people feel.
Yeah, but if you do that and there's some other little hiccup there, Johnny couldn't take his medicine because he couldn't drink the water or whatever, and then you're going to be in trouble.
And that's why you give the Aqua statement, you let people make their own decisions, and you don't come in and scare people, which is the point I've been trying to make all this week.
You've done a fine job, Scott, even if nobody but me believes it.
Hey, well, I hope you listen to the special tonight. That'll put you in a good mood.
Okay, thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you. 7 to 9 tonight, the Christmas special here on WGH Talk Radio. And we appreciate the calls today. We'll be back tomorrow. But tonight, 7:15 to 9, tune in. Thanks, Ted and Carol Jolla, for the newspaper, the archive newspaper from 1981, and for the large diet soda from McDonald's, and the Welsh family for the Christmas card. We'll get one out to you very, very soon. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
His mother and all his relatives and all the kids, they threw a great party, and it was very...